Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We continue today with our subject of the believer's authority. Today is number 4. And the Bible text is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, and from chapter 2, verse 6. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then number 2, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us all together in the heavenly place, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The door to exercising authority lies between the two phrases that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, where he says, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, and has raised us up together. Meditate on these two prayers. Meditate what that really means. Learn to pray these prayers for yourself. Feed on their truths until they become a part of your inner consciousness. Then they will dominate your life. But don't try to accept them mentally. You have got the revelation of you have to get the revelation of them in your spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Notice that not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's seated above all powers of Satan's realm. And we are there too, because God has raised us up together. Not only have we been made to sit, but notice where we are sitting. We are sitting far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Glory to God. In the midst of God, in the mind of God, we were raised when Christ was raised. When Christ sat down, we sat down also. That's where we are now. Our position is that we are seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. Not in the future, but today. All the authority that that was given to Christ belongs to us through him, and we have to exercise it. We help him by carrying out his work upon this earth. And one aspect of his work that the word of God tells us to do is to conquer the devil. In fact, Christ can't do all his work on earth without us. The truth that Paul is bringing out here in Ephesus is that Christ is the head and we are the body. What if your body said, I can't get along, I cannot get along with my head, I don't need my head? No, your body can't get along without your head. And what if your head said, well, I cannot get along with my body, I don't need it. I can get along without hands and feet. You can't. Likewise, Christ can't get along without us. The work of Christ and God is carried out through the body of Christ. His work never will be done apart from us, and we never get along without him. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. If you take this verse out of its setting and go on talking about this, how this awful fight we are in is against the devil, describing how powerful the devil is, you've missed the whole point of what Paul was making. Because that's what he says in Ephesians. You can do great harm by picking one verse out of the chapter, taking it all by itself and making it something that it doesn't say. The Holy Spirit through Paul already has said in the second chapter that we are seated above all the powers that we have to deal with. Not only is Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all these powers, and we are there. We too, because God has made us sit together with Christ. Therefore, in our battle against the enemy and his forces, we need to keep in mind that we are above them and we have authority over them. The word tells us that Jesus has conquered them. Our job is to enforce his victory. His victory belongs to us, but we are to carry it out. And many ministers are told how Jesus appeared to him in a vision and talked to him about the devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of the vision, there was an evil spirit disturbing what Jesus said. Ministers said he couldn't understand why Jesus didn't do anything about this demon. Why did Jesus not act upon it? So while Jesus was speaking, the minister couldn't understand anything because of the demon. And then when the minister shouted, "In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, be quiet." And he was quiet. And he told him to go, and he went. The Lord said to the minister, "If you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have done." Jesus explained, not one single time in the New Testament is the church ever told to pray to God the Father or Jesus that he should do something against the devil. In fact, to do so would be a waste of time. The believer is told to do something about the devil. We are told to do something about the devil. The reason is because you have the authority to do it. I say it again. You have the authority to do it. The church is not to pray to God the Father about the devil. The church is to exercise the authority that belongs to us. The New Testament tells believers themselves to do something about the devil. The least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil as anyone else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done in this area. It is some people, they believe that certain people that have a special power, and they travel to these places to get a blessing, to get the power. Jesus said, the least member of the body of Christ has just as much power over the devil like anyone else. When we start believing that is when we are going to get the job done. So we have to internalize this. Jesus has done all that he's going to do about the devil until the angel will come from heaven with a big chain and binding the devil and puts him into the bottomless pit. In the Bible we have proof about this authority. Jesus arose from the dead and said, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the word power means authority. But he immediately delegated his authority on earth to the church. And he can work only through the church, for he is the head of the church. The second reference is in Mark 16:15-18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything but deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The very first sign mentioned as followers, as following any believer, not any pastor or evangelist, is that they shall cast out devils. So Jesus doesn't say all ministers, all pastors, all evangelists, they have to cast out devils. It's every believer is concerned. It says in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his of the Son of his love. One translation says the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness. Again, that's a Greek word, power, here is for authority. So this verse should read, the Father has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God already has delivered us from the authority of darkness. Therefore, we got a right to speak to darkness, that is Satan, and his kingdom, and tell him what to do. Believers have authority over the devil. They can break the power of the devil if he raises his head. Anywhere, in their own lives, or the lives of their immediate family or loved ones. They have authority there. They will be free from the enemy because they've got the right to exercise their authority over him. That doesn't mean, however, that we will go through the streets casting out devils everywhere. It primarily means they will exercise authority over the devil in their own lives. We've got to realize that you have got authority over your own household. But you don't have authority over my household. Spiritual authority is as much like natural authority. For example, you don't have authority over my money. You cannot tell me what I have to do with my money unless I give you permission to. You don't have authority over my children. You can stop the devil in some of his maneuvers in somebody else's life, but you cannot always cast him out because you don't have authority in that household. The next reference is from James 4:7. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The believer has authority over the devil or the Bible would tell him to do something about the devil. The scripture says that the devil will flee from the Bible does not say the devil will flee from Jesus. It says he will flee from you. Similarly, you don't pray that Jesus will lay hands on the sick. You do it. Notice too that the hands are not the head. The hands are in the body. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When you lay hands on the sick, you are exercising authority over the devil. That authority is yours whether you notice or not, whether you feel it or not. Authority has nothing to do with feelings, but you must exercise it. That verse from James says he will flee from you. The devil will run away from you. That is significant. The dictionary says that the meaning of this is to run from as in terror. So, in other words, the devil will run from you in terror. And when you appear, the devil is already afraid. You see, the demons are not afraid of me, but they are afraid of Jesus whom I represent. There is another Bible verse in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Your adversary means your opponent, your enemy. This is as far as many people read. They say, oh, the devil is after me. They ask for prayer, for the devil will get me and everything. They run to pastors and say, please, the devil wants to get after me. Please pray for me. But the devil already got them when they talk like this. It's too late to pray then. What we are going to do about him is roll over and play dead. Are we going to hide until he may disappear? The next verse in verse 9 says, whom we stand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Our fellow Christians are going through the same tests and trials. Now, Peter didn't say you should go to a certain pastor and ask him to pray for you. No, instead of that, he told them to do something about the devil. Why? Because we have authority over him. Every believer. The Spirit of God through the Apostle Peter wouldn't tell you to do something that you couldn't do. The reason you can do it is because every believer has the same authority that Paul had in Jesus Christ. Peter didn't tell us that only Paul could cast out devils, or that only Paul would resist the devil for us. Some people ask why they are not being healed. Some think there is something wrong with the preacher who prayed for me. You see, when you were first saved, you were a baby Christian, and God permitted others to pray for you and carry you with their faith. But after a while, God expects that the baby will grow, walk and start doing things for himself. God puts a baby down and tells him to walk, but many refuse. Too many believers still want to be babies and want someone else to pray for them. We want to help those who cannot help themselves, but people have to grow and use their own authority. The time will come when they have to use their own authority if they want their prayers to be answered. We ought to grow stronger in faith the older we get, but too often we don't. In many churches, most of the people were saved when they were younger. God permitted others to pray for them, but because of a lack of right teaching, they remained in that babyhood state of Christian development. They said, "We used to get healed when we first believed, when we became Christians, but today we don't." You have to learn to exercise your own faith or do your own praying, not always depending on somebody else's prayers. What happens to people who never attempted to exercise any faith of their own, but always rely on other people's faith? We just read that your adversary, the devil, is roaring as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. If you're not strong enough, he will come. But the believer can do something about it. James, Jesus, and Peter tell us to do something about the devil. Paul says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him a footstool. This means you are not to give the devil any place in your life. He cannot take any place unless you give him permission to do so. The Bible verses we used establish the fact that the believer has authority on earth, for he has delegated his authority over the devil to you here on earth. If you don't do anything about it, nothing will be done. And that is where many times nothing is done. Now you can understand why certain things have happened as they are happening. We permitted the devil to do it. So not knowing our authority, not knowing what we could do, we have done nothing. We actually have permitted the devil to keep on doing whatever he wanted to do. So we need to realize this. We may have to change our way of praying and get after the devil and do something. We have authority to do that. We're sitting at the right hand of the Father, far above principalities and powers. If we are far above them, then we have authority over them. Ephesians 1:22-23 say, it goes on to say, "And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Remember what Jesus said to the 70 disciples when he sent them out in Luke 10:19. "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. How much authority over the devil does the church have? Do we have less power than the disciples had? Thank God it's not so. Yet if you listen to the average Christian talking or hear some preachers preach, you get the impression that the devil is bigger than anybody, than everybody else, that he's running after everything, running everything. Yes, he is a god of this world, and so he's running the world system. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So he cannot run us. The devil has been walking on us for too long. These things are not a joking matter. It's not a joke. This is reality. We're in a fight. The moment you give your life to Christ, there is a fight. So you have to put the devil on the run. Put him away. God's plan for us is that we rule and reign in life as kings. To rule and reign over circumstances, poverty, disease, and everything else that would hinder us. We reign because we have authority. We reign by Jesus Christ. We are not wandering beggars because we are not beggars. We are children of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are seated with Christ at the right hand of His Majesty on high, far above all principalities and powers, might and dominion. Glory to God. We are seated in the place of authority, and so we can use that authority.